Let me read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. You can find that on page 57 in your pew Bible. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you and to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Just say no. How many of you have heard your parents say that when they are afraid you're going to get into trouble? Just say no. Well, it could be good advice in terms of telling adolescents to avoid the temptations of normal life. We know smoking, sex, drinking, driving while drinking, all that stuff. But the problem is, when peer pressure is applied, most teens that I know don't stand much of a chance of getting away with just saying no. Right, I see a couple nods there. Wisely, my parents had a different strategy. When my mother and my father did say, what they did say was something like, "Remember who you are. Remember what we have taught you. Respect yourself and others. You are too precious and too valuable to hurt yourself and others. Believe in your own good sense. Test those temptations against your faith, your values, and your goals. Ask yourself if the consequences are worth the possible approval of your friends." I had to think about what would happen if I said yes to those temptations and no to what I believed and had been taught. Those reminders did, for the most part, work for me. Of course, I was a normal teen, and I did get into a little bit of temptation and succumb, but by the grace of God, I was spared the worst of the consequences, or I paid for those consequences. Our gospel lesson today describes Jesus' time of trial and temptation. The Gospel of Luke tells us that after Jesus' baptism, in which he was confirmed by the voice of God that he is God's heir, Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. While there, he is tempted by the devil. The struggle between Jesus and the tempter are focused around Jesus' ultimate loyalties and identity. Jesus' temptations are not about bad deeds or misbehavior. They force Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry to ask, "To whom do I belong?" and to affirm it. To what will he say yes? To what does he say no? The first trial confronts Jesus with his most basic identity question. Here is the Son of God, sent to live among humanity as the one to serve others. Jesus, desperate for food after 40 days of fasting, is tempted to abandon his core ministry, I'm just sure. I would be. He's tempted to serve himself first, to begin a self-centered life. But unlike us, thank goodness, Jesus remembers to whom he belongs. He doesn't belong to himself alone. He belongs to God. A lifetime of absorbing Hebrew scriptures enables Jesus to quote God's admonition to the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness, tempted by famine themselves. The Israelites who were tempted and failed more often than not were reminded while they were hungry that they are still God's chosen people who do not live by bread alone, but by God's word. Here in St. Petersburg, public officials have succumbed to the temptation of self-centered priorities. They have bought into the myth of scarcity. They imply that there are not enough resources for everyone in the city. They say there's not enough money to buy land to build affordable housing, while thousands of residents are one paycheck away from homelessness. They say there are not enough resources to fix a sewer system that pumps raw sewage into our poorest neighborhoods, while they spend millions decorating a pier for tourists. Movie stars, millionaires, we've seen in the paper this weekend, buy their children admission to at least elite colleges by bribing and cheating. Where's the scarcity there? The second trial forces Jesus to choose what seems like an ultimate good, the opportunity to rule over a messed up world and use his power to make it right. But the price is too high for Jesus. If he is to save the world on the devil's terms, he must deny God's power and sovereignty over all creation, and Jesus' loyalty and allegiance to God. Again, Jesus draws from the deep well of Scripture, God's word, to counter the devil's temptation. Jesus says, quoting Deuteronomy, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Our scripture reading from Deuteronomy this morning, God reminds us that our spiritual ancestors were once refugees, were made slaves of Pharaoh, and owe their freedom and allegiance to God and God alone. There are school officials here in Pinellas County who believe that they and they alone have the right and privilege and knowledge to mandate a discipline policy that suspends and arrests children of color in an alarming rate. Every time a student is suspended, their chance of dropping out of school doubles. Once a child drops out of school, they are three times more likely to be incarcerated. It's the school-to-prison pipeline. The school board has consistently refused to fully implement programs, proven programs, that enable children to learn and stay in school. Who's got the power? The third trial tempts Jesus to deny that God can be trusted to keep promises. And as Dr. William Williamson says, to bring salvation and to wring life out of death, even when all the circumstances of life would call that trust into question. The devil has a different story to offer. He says, instead of trust, why don't you get proof? Instead of walking by faith on God's terms, why don't you make God demonstrate saving power on your terms? Throw yourself down from the temple and force God's hand to save you. But again, Jesus, telling God's story in Deuteronomy, says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Here in Pinellas County, there are many with privilege and power that are afraid. They don't believe in God's promises. They do not believe that God loves all people equally, and that following God means loving our neighbors even or especially those who are very different from ourselves. There are those with privilege who are afraid that those who have those without advantages that they have will take their privileges away from them if given the chance. They do not believe that there is enough for everyone, enough love, enough resources, enough fairness. Those of us in FAST, Faith in Action for Strength Together, right? Have heard the story after story of unjust racial profiling by our police. Many of you have experienced while driving or biking black. Yet our police chief, and our sheriff, not so much our police chief here in St. Pete, but our sheriff and even the public defender say that doesn't happen much in Pinellas County. They deny that the disproportionate arrest and incarceration of people of color has anything to do with keeping those people down so that those with power and privilege can stay in power and keep their privileges. When I heard about the massacre of those in the mosques in New Zealand, my heart broke. The young man who killed and injured so many innocent people tried to take the power of God into his own hands, to make it into the world that he wanted. He and many others hold a fear-based belief that God cares only for those just like them. Of course, each of us is also tempted to put our self-centered desires ahead of others' needs. We often believe that we know better than God and can do what we believe is best for others, no matter what. We live as if God does not keep God's promises. What can we learn from the times of trials Jesus experienced? Granted, we know that as sinners, we will fail more often than we succeed. But because we have the assurance of God's forgiving and gracious love, we have the courage and strength to draw on Jesus' experience to help us face our times of temptation and trial. Jesus' whole response to the temptations was summed up by the prophet Micah's message from God. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This Lent, I challenge each of us to examine ourselves in the light of Micah's commandments. How are you doing with justice? One easy way, this congregation, God bless you all, is engaged with FAST, and you stand up for those who have little voice in our community. If you are a network member, I will see you at the rally tomorrow, right? And if all the rest of you, I will see on April the 8th, Monday, April the 8th, at Tropicana Field, right? All right. By speaking out against the injustices that you see every day is another way that we do justice. And we thwart the devil. Those of us with privilege and power must examine ourselves and acknowledge where and how we collude with racist systems that unjustly keep others trapped in poverty and unequal education and the criminal justice system. God commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves, right? Your commitment this morning in the candle lighting liturgy gives you a challenge to examine how you, as an individual and a church, are loving your neighbors as yourselves. Continue the fantastic work that you do with Operation Attack. I don't know of any other local Southside nonprofit that does the work that you all are doing for people every week. Reach out to those who you know who are isolated and lonely. Cross over political and social and racial lines to get to know your neighbors. Now, walking humbly with God is perhaps the hardest commandment of all. We are called to believe that God can be trusted to keep promises, to bring salvation, to wring life out of death, even when all the circumstances of life would call that trust into question. It means that God is in charge, not me. I'm an oldest sister of two younger sisters, and by nature, I try to organize and keep all my little siblings in line. It doesn't work very well. I don't need to manipulate everyone around me to do what I think is best. Let God do what God does best and join in where God is working. One time-honored way to walk humbly with God is to make a commitment this season of Lent to embrace an intentional time of spiritual practices in which you commit to growing closer to God. I urge you to recommit to learning and studying Scripture and to grow in your life of prayer. We know that every day we are faced with choices, trials, and temptations to deny God's first place in our lives. The forces that try to seduce us to live according to the world's values are all around us. You can see it in every commercial on TV, in choices that many make that put others at risk, in the prejudice that excludes those that are not just like the majority. Those of us that try to shape our lives through Christ's life and ministry must constantly choose between the allure of the world, the world's values, and Christ's teachings. Service, justice, compassion, love, and simplicity. I know that I do not have the power to say no to the world's call to put myself first unless I remember that I belong to God. And I can tell the story of God's claim on my life, and I turn to God frequently in Scripture and prayer. It is then that I can say yes to God. Do justice, love your neighbor as yourself, and walk humbly with God. Let us pray. God, help us to know your claim on our lives. Strengthen us to walk with you every day, to depend on you for our answers, to know that we are not in charge. Help us to do justice, to love those who sometimes are very unlovable, and to walk with you in peace and harmony. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please.